Welcome to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. How will Michigan fare in the next recession? According to an analysis out this month by Moody's, not very well. Joining me to talk about that are our Friday political commentators, Ken Sikkema, senior policy fellow at Public Sector Consultants and a former Republican majority leader in the Senate, and Vicki Barnett, a former mayor of Farmington Hills and a former Democratic legislator. So Moody's Analytics designed a stress test for the states to see how well each state was prepared for a moderate recession scenario. Michigan came in at number 35, right alongside Arkansas and Mississippi. Ken, why do you think Michigan is faring so poorly in this exercise?
Well, just for the record, you know, our current expansion has kind of been long by historical standards. I mean, in the last 50 years, it's the current expansion in terms of its length has only been exceeded by the whole decade of the 90s. But I think part of it is that although Michigan has done some good things like putting money away for a rainy day fund, there are some other things, other decisions, frankly, that have been made that commit future spending without acknowledging that they're not paid for, or even future tax cuts like the personal property tax cut that aren't paid for. So I think one of the reasons, from my point of view, that Michigan probably isn't established well for a recession is that we made future spending commitments or tax cut commitments that we haven't figured out how we're going to pay for.
Vicki, what are the consequences not being better prepared for an economic downturn?
Well, despite an economic downturn, we're still not prepared at all. Last year at this time, we were talking about the potential for a $2 billion shortfall in 4 years in the state of Michigan, which is now 3 years, based on exactly those things that Ken was talking about, giving tax breaks to businesses without figuring out how to pay for it, and committing general fund money to road projects and other projects that we haven't really figured out how to pay for, on top of the tax cuts and tax breaks that we were giving. So we were already headed toward a $2 billion shortfall. You add a recession on to that, and we're looking at possibly a $3 or $4 billion shortfall.
Well, even with the projections you guys are talking about, the majority of the Michigan legislature is determined not to raise taxes. While the roads are falling apart, we don't have money for cleaning up pollution. We're stealing money from school aid fund to get money to colleges and universities. I mean, how are we going to set aside more money?
It seems to me that when times are good, look, this issue isn't rocket science. It's as old as the Old Testament when Joseph was running things in Egypt, and he had 7 good years, and he said, look, we got to set something aside for the 7 bad years that are coming. So I think you salt some money away, and I think you credit the governor and the current legislature for having done that. We've got almost $1 billion in a rainy day fund. But secondly, and we've talked about this, you got to curtail the appetite to make future spending commitments that aren't paid for.
Moody's Analytics said the economic impact of putting that dollar aside today when the economy is red hot will be much less painful than trying to pull it out of the economy at the height of the next recession. Vicki, is Lansing listening to those kinds of warnings?
No, they're not. It's much easier to save money when you have money. We all know that. It's also much more fun to spend money when you have money. But we need to start putting the money away while we have it. When you have a recession, we have a tightening of the revenue stream coming into the state at the same time that we have an increase in spending in terms of Medicaid, unemployment insurance, mental health services. So we spend more in a recession for services that we don't spend more on when the economy is pumping along. But I want to just go back and talk a minute about where we are. In 1998, the general fund budget of the state of Michigan was $8.7 billion. If you account for inflation in real dollars, that's $13.7 billion, and we're barely at a $10 billion general fund revenue stream. So we have not even kept up with inflation in this state, and we're still trying to play catch-up, not to mention what we've done to the school aid fund, which is way underwater if we talk about real dollars. So we've been in a tax cut mentality without, as Ken said, looking toward how to pay for those cuts as the economy continues to churn forward. And we've used general fund money and indeed extra rainy day money that the governor wanted to put away that the legislature said, no, we're going to pump that into roads because we don't have the guts to really fix the fixing of our road problem, which is a $2 billion annual need that we're not addressing.
I was looking at tax burdens. Last year, Bridge Magazine reported state and local taxes in 1977 were 9% higher than the national average. By 2014, Michigan's per capita tax burden was 19% below the national average. I looked at that in 2018 dollars. Basically, that meant we were paying per person $1,156 in 1977 and $952 in 2014. Ken, is that progress or does that mean the state is falling behind?
We've been through this before. In the decade of the 90s, we had a huge economic expansion, even greater than the one we're currently experiencing. And so in the late 90s, we started annually cutting the state income tax. But a few short years later, we had to postpone those tax cuts because of the recession. So to me, the issue is, you know, you've got to balance the budget at the state level. You have to recognize there are going to be some needs that are out there, and some of those needs go up when you have a recession, such as health and human services. And I think that's, once again, I think that's where the state is falling short looking down the road here.
Vicki, is a smaller tax burden for the average person a good thing, or does it mean the state's falling behind?
Well, the state's falling behind, as well as the rich are getting richer and the middle class is shrinking and the poor are getting poorer. And a lot of the jobs that have been created really don't keep pace with a growth in wages for residents of the state of Michigan who really haven't seen their overall paychecks keeping pace with inflation and growing. So add to that student debt and a whole host of other factors, and the state is falling behind, and the state is falling apart. There's no one that's going to tell you that the crisis in our drinking water isn't real and that we have a problem with fixing our infrastructure. So I don't know if the tax burden alone in isolation is really a descriptor for how we should be looking at the quality of services and quality of life that a state provides. I think we need to begin to look at what do we need to pay for, how much does it cost, and how do we provide that as a basic service for people, and what is the burden on the average taxpayer and on the business taxpayer, and how do we balance that with the needs to attract people and businesses to the state of Michigan with a high quality of life.
I want to ask both of you, are we having these kinds of conversations in Lansing anymore?
I don't think so.
Well, you don't have any substantive conversations 7 weeks before an election, Lester. My friends and neighbors in West Michigan, nobody's clamoring for a tax cut, Lester. They're talking about fixing the roads. They're talking about the need to improve education, but nobody's really out there clamoring, insisting upon some small tax cut. I think that reflects their understanding that there are some things that you need to invest in, and they cost money. I mean, you can't fix the roads just by wishing it being done. You got to have revenue to fix the roads.
And add to that term limits where legislators come in and they figure they have to do something. And on the Republican side, it's been the mantra to cut taxes, cut taxes, cut taxes. And you still have legislators on the Republican side that want to come in and do away with the state income tax altogether, regardless of what the effect will be on schools and roads and the state of Michigan as a whole. So we still have to fight against that. And I think that term limits have not been our friend to encourage these kinds of long-term discussions, because most of these types of discussions used to happen outside of the committee process in getting to know your legislative neighbor and figuring out who you could trust to have these conversations with. And that just doesn't happen anymore.
Vicki Barnett is a former Democratic legislator. Ken Sikkema is a former Republican legislator. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks,
Thank you, Lester.